Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Ladies, leave your man at home. The club is full of ballers and the pockets all grown.
And all you fellas leave your girl with her friends. Cause it's 11:30 and the club is jumping.
These are the lyrics. These are the lyrics to that song.
Yeah.
They got four lines deep and they were like, I'm out of ideas. Just put zibba zibba over and over again. No one will ever notice. And it worked.
I like it still.
And it worked. Like it
still. And I honestly, I never notice, but when I do notice, I still like it.
Yeah. And then it's like, you know, it's always fun to be able to sing along to a song that you love and you don't have to put in the effort. I already know what the words are. Let's go. I'm ready.
Literally.
It's 11:30 and the club is jumping.
We all do.
I'm ready for this.
Literally.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
You know, to do an episode about trios and not have the last third of our trio in this episode pains me hard, pains me deep. I'm pained.
And of course, as the last member of our trio, we are talking about Academy Award winner Anne Hathaway. She has been dear, close friend of ours for a long time.
I miss her so much.
We are the Three Musketeers. We are the Three Blind Mice. We love hanging out with each other. Mm-hmm. We have such a great time every time we're together. Mm-hmm. No, Lena is, of course, talking about also an idea that we both had independently, but too late to make it actually happen. Lena's talking about EP Tiff. The fact that EP Tiff is not on this episode. Hi, Tiffany. We made a mistake.
Hi, Tiffany. Do you want to be on the mini-sode? Can't she be on the mini-sode?
I mean, she could. I don't know, like, what there would be to do. Just, like, weigh in on emails.
There's nothing
to
do on a mini-sode.
No, it's...
She could. Love you, Tiffany.
It's a casualty of crew scheduling. Hello, everyone. This is our last ever episode at sea. My cruise contract is ending.
Oh, my gosh.
I will be off this boat in 7 days. But because of that, our schedule is so...
Rest in peace, your cruise era.
Truly, rest in peace, my cruise era. Gonna miss it so much. Honestly, I am legitimately gonna miss a lot of it. Some stuff I won't miss at all. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I won't miss is that scheduling for this podcast on the cruise has been so specific that having a guest is like near impossible because we can't work with their schedule. Well, here's the one window of opportunity Ian has.
We've tried to have guests in the past. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work.
Well, to get the one guest that we had while on the cruise was Alex for the season 4 wrap up. And that was a nightmare to manage. It ended up working.
Oh, that was a nightmare.
And that episode turned out well. But like getting that episode to be able to record with like 3 different people on the call with my jacked up internet. And it was so incredibly difficult. So Tiffany... we love you. We're very sad that you are not in our trio right now. And literally, if this was 1 week later, we could have worked something out. Shoot.
I know. Literally. We love you, Tiffany. Oh my gosh. I'm excited for you to be back from the cruise, but I'm also... Oh, it looks like you've had so much fun. You literally went skydiving the other day.
Skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing. I went 2.7 seconds.
Tell me about it. What was it like? Were you scared? Did you poop your pants?
honestly, it was so incredible. And weirdly, me and my friend Mary were talking about this. It was weirdly not scary. She also went skydiving with me. But she and I were talking about it when we decided to do it, where we were like, it's so dangerous that it has to be safe. We're like, if sure. like skydiving is so stupid that no one would do it unless it was a safe thing to do. And obviously, like, that's not fully true. Like, people do get injured and people, there are like casualties from skydiving. But I'm just like, skydiving is such a popular thing that, mm-hmm. you know, I feel like for it to be as popular as it is, it actually has to be pretty safe. So I was not, I also am like one of those people that, you know, you tell me to jump out of an airplane and I'm like, you got it, boss. And then you tell me to like be emotionally vulnerable and like have a tough conversation with someone. And I'm like, I literally could never, I'm going to have a panic attack about this. Like something about physical danger just doesn't really affect me, but anything about like emotional danger freaks me out. But it was so incredibly awesome. It's also like getting out of the plane is scary, but once you're out of the plane, the ground is so far away that your brain can't really comprehend that you're in danger. So you're just like, wow, I'm flying. Like, I have superpowers. I'm flying. And then the parachute opens up early enough that it never fully clicks that, like, you are falling from a large height. And then once the parachute opens, you're on Soaring Over California, baby. Incredible. I did genuinely think I was going to pee my pants. Like, it got to a point. So my nervous tic is I drink water. Like, every time I'm stressed out, I will just drink so much water. And I peed before we left. But it took us. We, like, our little waiting area, once it was our turn, we then had to take a bus to the airport and then get on the plane. And then we took a half-hour plane ride until we jumped out. And by the time we were about ready to jump out, I was like, I'm going to pee. I'm going to pee. And I reached a point where I was like, I spent so much money on this. I don't know if I'll ever do this again in my life. I'm not going to waste energy on making sure I don't pee. So honestly, if I pee, it's in God's hands. Like, I'm going to make peace with the fact that might pee my pants at 10,000 feet.
I'm obsessed with that. Yeah, I'm sure that happens literally all the time.
Truly, that was my tandem jumper, like the guy that I was strapped to, that was his third jump that day. So I'm like, I'm sure at some point someone has peed on you. Yeah. But thankfully, the heavens smiled down on me because I did not pee on him. We were fine.
Yay! I'm glad. Aw, that's such a good attitude. I wish I had that attitude in anything. Not just like waste energy on like not peeing, but like waste energy on like shit, like it doesn't matter, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I love that. That's really cool. Honestly, I saw it and it made me very emotional that you did that, and I was very proud of you. So that's really cool.
Yeah, I'm really glad I did it. I was just, it was it also was this was frankly more courageous of me to do than jumping out of the plane. I was not invited to do that. It was like a group of people from the ship were going, and it wasn't like they're just their friend group was going, but they were just going and I heard about it and I was like, I've always wanted to skydive. I've always been curious. So I reached out to one of them and was like, would it be okay if I went skydiving with you? And that is truly one of my biggest fears.
That's really brave.
Is being somewhere where I'm not wanted, like ending up at an event where people are like, why did Ian come to this? So I was really using my therapy skills to be like, hi, be okay if I also came?
Oh my gosh. Never in my life have I ever done that. I take that kind of shit personally when people don't invite me to go skydiving, even when they know I don't want to go skydiving. You know what I mean?
Literally, my text to the guy, I literally was like, okay, what if I went skydiving with you guys? And then immediately after, I was like, but if it's just like a group thing and you guys just want to go together, that's totally cool. I totally understand. I will not be offended. Like, listed 10 caveats. And then he responded and was like, of course you can come. What are you talking about? But I said like a whole paragraph of like, but if not, I totally understand. And like, no offense. And it's going to be okay. Yeah, and I'll get totally. Over it. And yeah. But once I'd done that, jumping out of the plane was no sweat, baby. I already jumped out of the emotional literally, plane. We were fine.
That's a scarier thing to me. What a cool way to like end your cruise era too.
Truly. Truly. It was very awesome. It was great. All right. Well, hello everyone. My name is Ian Allred. I went skydiving. I did not go Rocky Mountain climbing, though. But I did love deeper, and I did give forgiveness I've been denying. And I also did be a Gleek.
Hey, what's up, everyone? My name is Lena Knatzer, and I just have an announcement. Ladies, leave your man at home.
Out of here.
The club is full of ballers. Yes. And they pockets full grown.
Absolutely.
And all your fellas, leave your girl with her friends.
Get her out.
Because it's 11:30 and the club is jumping. And I'm a mini Gleek. What? I'm a regular Gleek. It is a maxi sode. Whoa. You can't see it, but Ian's got a little Grogu doll and he keeps making it dance.
Leave your man at home. The club is full of ballers and the pockets full grown. And other fellas, leave your girl with her friends, because it's all about that. I got the club, it's jumping.
He's so cute. He's got this little twinkle in his eye. That's a cute little doll. A cute little pool. Got your hair done and your nails done, too. You were here talking about Trio.
Yes! Woo!
Oh, yeah, it's time for the Glecks.
I'm always ready for Glecks. I'm so excited to hear the Glecks.
Trio is the 10th episode of Glee's 5th season and the 98th episode overall. This episode aired on March 4th, 2014. Thank you. This episode was written by Sofia Rivka-Rossi and directed by Ian Brennan. Sofia Rivka-Rossi has never written for Glee before and will never write for Glee again. You might know this person from creating the website Hello Giggles.
Oh!
Mm-hmm. Wow. Or maybe they wrote for Hello throwback. Giggles. I know, huge throwback. Because I think, who was it? Like Zooey Deschanel who started Hello Giggles? I'm making this up. I'm trying to put my 2013 cap back on, but I don't remember. And this episode was directed by Ian Brennan. All right, let's talk about the songs in this episode. Okay, of course, we've got Jumpin' by Destiny's Child, performed by Blaine, Sam, and Tina Cohen-Chang. Hell yeah. And then we've got Barracuda by Heart, performed by Elliot and Rachel. Nancy Wilson, who is a member of the band Heart, the original artist of this song, plays guitar on the Glee performance of this song. Isn't that cool?
Ooh,
I know.
That's very cool.
She is the second original artist to appear in the Glee performance after Olivia Newton-John in Physical. This song was originally supposed to be Visions of Love by Mariah Carey, but it was changed to this song. I'm not sure why, but if it has anything to do with Nancy Wilson being on set, fuck yeah, bro, the song rocks.
Seriously.
And then we have Don't You open parentheses, Forget About Me, close parentheses, originally by the Simple Minds, performed by Blaine, Sam, and Tina. This song was supposed to be featured in Puppet Master. Ian said that during that episode. It was supposed to be sung by Blaine and Puppet Jake and Puppet Becky. However, it was cut for unknown reasons. Maybe they were saving it for this episode. Who freaking knows?
I do think it works better in this context than it would have worked in that one.
Completely. Well, they do call it the Breakfast Club, so I understand why they went for that one, but I agree. Like, I think it works better for the senior lock-in. At the end of this performance, you might notice that Blaine raises his fist, and that is a reference to the Breakfast Club, of which Don't You Forget About Me is a part of the soundtrack, and that song is like, you know, I think people, that song and that movie, they're synonymous with each other. People don't really think of one without the other.
It's actually a reference.
Pitch Perfect.
It's actually a reference to in Pitch Perfect when Becca sings this song and then Jesse stands up and he puts his fist up. That's what it's referencing.
Mm-hmm.
Because
right.
that moment
not that not
is...
that that's supposed to be a reference to something else. It's that that's the original idea mm-mm. in Pitch Perfect.
Pitch Perfect.
The movie that
is
they watched was made up. Yeah.
The Breakfast Club The Breakfast Club should be so lucky as to have been mentioned in Pitch Perfect. Oh, sorry.
You know, I do think that I'll give credit where it's due. I do think Pitch Perfect genuinely brought that movie to like a younger audience. And like I had seen that movie, but like on a whim. But I really became interested with that song in that movie from Pitch Perfect. I'll say it here and now on mic.
And like Pitch Perfect does right by that movie. We're like, it's made very clear what movie they're referencing. They talk very highly of it. And then
Becca
like
cries
in the
watching
performance
it.
Of that song, they have references to the movie. I love that scene. Oh my gosh. Too. Listen, join our Patreon. Listen to
join our Patreon. We already talked about it. and then we've got Danny's song, originally by Loggins and Messina, performed by Emma and Will. This is the only time Emma sings in season 5. This is Wemma's last duet in the entire series, and this is the last time Emma sings in the entire show. Whoa. Can you believe we're having so many of
Jayma.
These? So many of these, like, last time evers. It kind of freaks me out. I don't want to think about it. I'm moving on. Okay. Next, we've got Gloria, originally by Laura Branigan. Hell yeah. And then we've got The Happening by The Supremes.
That's my favorite glact. My favorite glact of the night is
what did I say?
Hell yeah.
You know what to, you know, like in between, what do you say for the ones that really don't have clacks on them?
Yeah.
You say hell yeah,
you say hell
and you
yeah.
move on.
Hell
and it's a fact. Hell yeah. All right. Then we've got The Happening, originally by The Supremes, performed by 1-3 Hill, which is, you know, the new band that Kurt performs. Hell yeah. and then we've got Hold On, originally by Wilson Phillips, performed by Artie, Blaine, Rachel, Sam, Santana, Tina, and 1-3 Hill, members consisting of Elliot, Kurt, and Danny. All right. So this is the last time Danny sings in the series and makes Demi Lovato's last performance on Glee. Honestly, in my
Bye,
mind,
Demi.
I thought Demi Lovato was in this show more.
I did not, but I conflated Adam Lambert with Demi Lovato. So I've always remembered that Demi Lovato was kind of like, what was the point? They didn't really do much with that character. But I have been shocked with how much Elliot has been in this season.
Honestly,
he's doing all kinds of stuff.
I think he's kind of, let me say it, a good fit in this group.
Oh, absolutely. He's a really good fit. And that's the weird thing with Demi Lovato is, you know, Danny is like in that first episode when she and Santana first meet and flirt, and Danny does a lot in that episode. And then she does a lot in her next episode, I think. And then after that, even though she's in two more episodes, she does almost nothing in them.
Mm-hmm.
Like in this episode, she doesn't appear until the last third, and she's got like three lines. And then in the last episode that she was in, she was just in the song and was standing in the background, and that was kind of it.
Yeah.
Like, not only has Elliot been in more episodes, but when he's in an episode, like you said, he feels like a good fit. He, like, has dynamics with all the characters. I'm like, have we seen Danny ever speak to anyone besides Santana? Even in this episode, like, she doesn't actually talk to Kurt. She just stands next to him and then speaks to Santana.
Yeah, I don't think so. And that's the thing, like, Elliot fits with all of these characters very well. And I don't even know that they give Danny the chance to. That's the thing is, so often I'm like,
I know.
I'm like, is this because Danny's not a good fit? Or is this because they're not giving Demi Lovato a chance? Or maybe other things. There could be like, you know, anything.
Well, I wonder if it's a scheduling thing. This is the problem. When you get an incredibly famous person to be a recurring character on your series, because it's like they've got other stuff going on. They can't just pop in all the time. And so I wonder if it was Demi Lovato was so busy that they could only get them to be in like a scene here and there.
Literally.
But that's conjecture. I have no idea if that's true.
Who knows? Who knows? Have fun at the farm upstate, Danny. See you later. All right.
Yes. So hi to Kendra for us.
Oh, honestly, I miss you, Kendra.
Aww. They had her on. That's what you really missed.
They did?
Honestly, here's what's so great is that on That's What You Really Missed, Kevin and Jenna's current podcast, they have an interview every week with like someone involved in Glee. And I was anticipating that they would have, you know, like the leads on, which they have. And they've been very interesting, especially Chris Colfer's interview, especially is fascinating. Mm-hmm. But they also have had like Jennifer Aspin on to talk about Kendra and like coming to design that character. They had like Ken, I'm so sorry, Ken, I don't know your last name, to talk about Howard Bamboo. But it's just been so interesting to hear like you and me, Lena, as big fans of these like tertiary characters that most people do not care about at all. It's been so interesting to hear like a full hour of just Howard Bamboo content. You're like a whole hour about Jennifer Aspin talking about her inspiration behind Kendra and how she got written into the show. It's been very interesting.
That's so cool. That's really cool. I think like, I mean, even in their first podcast, like Showmance, like they were having like, they weren't having Jennifer Aspin on. They were having like, you know, Lea Michele on. And I think it's so cool to like try again with all of this and get new perspectives, and especially the smaller characters who aren't on the show as often. I think that's really a smart idea and a really interesting one. I feel like I'm really interested in hearing that. So I love that. I think they're such cool people. Well, so Glatz. This is the fourth episode to not feature any solos. Just group numbers and duets. The first three were Vitamin D, The First Time, and I Do. And this is the fourth one. During Danny's song, Will dabs some paint on Emma's nose and wipes it off with a cloth, a parallel to the chalk dust scene from Showmance. Whoa. The logo of the almighty treble clef, Finn's superhero alter ego from Dynamic Duets, is shown when Blaine and Tina and Sam break into the choir room during the night. Isn't that so sweet?
Oh.
I know. This episode received a 1.0 rating with 2.68 million viewers. And this is the first time that Blaine has worn his Nightbird outfit since the first time he wore it in Dynamic Duets. He also wore it in a deleted scene from Lights Out. Which, give it to me, Ryan Murphy. I want to see it. Give it to me.
Literally, I am upset enough that they cut that deleted scene that in my memory, I had filed it away as something that happened.
That happened.
I was like, oh, it's cool to see Nightbird again. It's the third time we're seeing Nightbird. No, nope. We didn't see him a second time. It got cut. And not even like, oh, it got cut and I saw the scene. Like, no, the scene is unreleased. No. I just imagined it.
No.
And convinced Ryan myself Murphy that it was in the show.
Keeping it from us.
Rude.
This episode features the last appearance of Emma and Beast in season 5. This episode is the last to credit Dot Marie Jones as a guest star. In season 6, she becomes a series regular. Rachel says to Elliot, Gina Gershon Jr. is nipping at her butt in a wedding gift to Gina Gershon. What? Oh my God, I swear I read these. So, later, Gina Gershon is going to play Blaine's mom. That's the glact. That's the whole glact. I don't know why I'm trying to read it word for word. I know what it says. So, it's another reference to someone saying someone's name and then them appearing later. Super duper. And those are your glacts.
She plays Blaine's mom?
Yep, Pam Anderson. That's her name. Pam Anderson.
It's back on the Gwyneth Paltrow, Lindsay Lohan, John Stamos train, where you speak someone's name live on Glee and they have to guest star. It's the law.
They have to guest star, yeah.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Ladies, leave your man at home. The club is full of ballers and the pockets full grown. And fellas, leave your girl with her friends, cause it's 11:30 and the recap is jumping. Why did I start it that low? I'm not a bass. I'm not even a baritone. Okay. Here's what you missed on Glee. Blamtina tried to savor their last weeks of high school by spending the night at McKinley, but the vibe gets ruined when Becky crashes the party and Sam and Tina make out. Will and Emma try and eventually succeed at getting pregnant. In New York, Rachel moves in with Elliot, causing a schism in Pamela Lansbury, which Kurt solves by kicking Rachel and Santana out and creating a new band with Danny and Elliot. Oh, also apparently Nationals are next week. And that's what you missed on Glee!
Wow. What do you think about this episode?
This episode is fun. It's great. Here is something that is so lovely about Glee right now. You brought it up last week. It's continuing into this week. The writers kind of stopped focusing on romantic relationships, and we're just talking about friends. Watching this episode, specifically the McKinley stuff, I was like, okay, yeah, this feels like what high school was like.
Totally.
Like, of course, people did date in high school, but most of my memories of high school is this kind of stuff. And I'm glad we're finally getting to it.
I know. This totally looks like what high school looks like for me. I even like Sam and Tina making out and then deciding to be friends is that's really so relatable. I'm obsessed with that. Like, I love that. That so happens, and like that's what happens more often than like friends pairing off and dating is people making out and being like, no, it's okay. Like, I love that. Mm-hmm. And I love like having a friend group and the friend group being ruined and being like, I can't even deal with you right now. Like, that is, I love that. I really loved this episode. I think this episode is really fun.
Yeah, I had a very, very good time with this episode. I felt like pretty much everyone was utilized well. It felt like an ensemble show, which Glee always kind of talked a big game about being an ensemble show. And I was like, are you really? Because you're mostly just Finchel. And it really did feel like a full ensemble this week.
And even I really enjoyed the New York stuff as well. I thought like Rachel being super insufferable, but like in a funny way.
Do you want to just start with New York? Just dive in there.
Hell yeah, let's start. So starting with Rachel, nowhere to go in New York City, knocking on Elliot's door and being like, I don't have anywhere to go. And so dramatically, like falling into his arms, him making up the couch for her and then her jumping on his bed. Oh, my God, this woman is such a bitch. I'm obsessed with her. I love it.
Specifically the shot of Elliot making the couch for her, putting a blanket. And she looks at the couch and then like forlornly looks back at the bed and then hard cut to her kissing him on the cheek while he's on the couch and she jumps onto the bed. That's it's comedy. So I rewound funny. That because it was so funny.
Oh my God. It's so funny. And it like is so Rachel. You know, I think Rachel is so terrible. But every once in a while, she gets to be terrible in a way that's, like, kind of funny. You know what I mean? And I revel in these moments. Mm-hmm. Like, she just is such a diva. And I'm just obsessed.
I so agree with you. I loved Rachel this episode. Like, this is one of my favorite Rachel episodes in a while.
Oh, totally.
And it's
me
not
too.
Because I was like, Rachel is so, like, she just is such a good person in this episode. It's actually the opposite. It was, oh my gosh, it feels like the writers are in on the joke. Like, this is what I always loved about Rachel specifically in season one, was it wasn't that they made her, you know, like a good person or like selfless. It was that they were poking fun at that girl that all of us knew. And also a lot of us were hand raised where, you know, you just like are so the main character in your own story that you just have no concept of like other people. And when Rachel's played straight, that gets so aggravating. But when she's played comedically, like in this episode, it is comedy gold. It's so, so funny.
I know. It's interesting. Like, even like I mean, I really enjoyed the last episode as well. Like, I'm a fan of Rachel being terrible. It's just like, I hate when the show treats her like she's not. And this is where it's like, no, we know she's awful. She's awful. Lea Michele knows she's awful. We all know she's awful. Like, it's funny. Like, they're in on the joke, like you said. I was a big fan of Rachel this episode. I thought, I don't know, I was so into that. That whole, anyway. And then her turning, like, Star Child into her, like, personal assistant. Like, him grabbing her tea and, like, printing out sheet music for her. No, he brought his own sheet music. But, like, you know, like, getting her dry cleaning. Oh, my God. Like, what the fuck? And she's like, oh, my God. I am obsessed.
When she tells him, she's, like, so excited that they're friends now. And she goes, I have a new best gay. Mm-hmm. And then Ellie goes, oh, yeah, I kind of don't like that term. It makes me feel like a pet. And then Rachel and he goes, what do you mean it's so funny?
It's so, like, funny.
That is, I literally know so many people like that. And it is so, it's comedy. See, she also in that same scene when Elliot first comes to her when she's in the rehearsal studio. I wish I had written it down. I thought about writing it down, but I didn't. But she asks him a question, and then before he can even answer, she, like, asks him the question and then immediately turns away and goes and does something else. Mm-hmm. And it's such smart directing by Ian Brennan to show, like, she doesn't give a shit what his answer is. Like, she's just asking that question to, you know, put on the facade of, like, being a friend and listening, but she's going to go do her own thing. She doesn't care what he says.
Oh, my God.
Part of what also keeps the Rachel stuff funny and keeps it from getting, like, too, keeps it from getting annoying for me, at least, is the fact that Elliot's kind of got, like, a good head on his shoulders and he can get wise to it and call it out.
Absolutely. And I think, like, as a new person in the, like, the crew, it, like, serves for, like, our view into what's going on. Like, you know, you know, I love that kind of character. That's, like, kind of, like, especially in this episode where everything is so dramatic, you know, we have Tina falling on the ground, crying. We have Rachel, like, jumping on Elliot's bed, like, and, like, falling into his arms to have a character that is, like, exactly to have a character that is, like, I actually really don't like that. Please don't. And then she's like, no, like, I think is really fun, and having him be kind of the voice of reason is just, I think, so smart and, like, a fun way to look at, like, these characters in a new way. And it also, like, I don't know, it's just, like, a fun way to, I just really loved it. Oh my gosh.
Also, when he goes back to the loft to get Rachel's sheet music and Santana is there and he says, I'm just here to get Rachel's sheet music. Do you know where she keeps it? And Santana goes, upper butt. And, like, so genuine, just is, like, in the middle of what she's doing, upper butt.
Let's also talk about Elliot and Santana. Santana in this episode, like, even her putting in her hair extensions and her hair being, like, extra big. Like, this whole episode is just, like, an extra that I'm obsessed with. And then Elliot being the person who's like, I don't fucking know you, dude. Like, I'm not a traitor to you. I don't know who you are. Like, I just loved it. The whole thing. Like, everyone being so angry with Elliot for just, like, being, like, existing. And he's like, I'm literally just, like, trying to save some money. I'm sorry. Like, I don't know you. I'm obsessed.
And the way that arguments and feuds bring out the petty sides of people that both Santana and Rachel have regressed so much back into who they were in the early seasons of the show. Rachel is, like, so self-obsessed and so uninterested in other people. And then Santana is, like, very intentionally trying to psychologically torture Rachel. Like, very intentionally doing things that she knows are going to make her more self-conscious and make her feel more uncomfortable during rehearsals.
Like, her, like, telling Elliot, like, her plan, and then her, like, talking to Rachel and being like, oh, has that already happened yet? Oh, I guess not. Like, her, like, letting Rachel in on, like, a plan. Oh my gosh, like, all of her, like, devious, maniacal, like, extra evil, like, genius plans. I lived for those. So funny.
I also love the way that this resolves, this, like, plotline resolves in this episode, because it's what we've been saying since the beginning with this BAM plotline, which is Kurt finally secedes. He becomes his own person. He gets his own life. He gets out from Rachel's thumb, and he just starts a new band with Danny and Elliot, which is what it should have been from day one. But I was very happy to see the Kurt plotline not be that he kowtows to either side, that he's like, you know what, literally, I've been dealing with these girls for 4 years. I'm not getting involved. I'm just going to do my own thing. And, like, I'm still friends with both of them if they want to be my friend. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm just going to continue with my band and live my life, and they can continue to fight each other. It's not my business.
Totally. I love it. I'm just obsessed.
Great.
Even, like, in the little, like, meeting that they have, like, him already having the band, like, they have a gig, they have a poster, like, the plan has already been set up that, like, they're kicking them out of the band. Like, it didn't matter what happened in the conversation. They could have, like, come to an understanding. And it was like, nope, like, this isn't yours anymore. Like, you fucked it up. You're ruining our fun. Bye-bye. Like, not happening. I loved that.
Also, about that poster, speaking about how Demi Lovato is, like, so underutilized in this show, and how I, at least, was surprised by how well Adam Lambert has been utilized, and you saying that they never gave Danny a chance, that's really reflected in this poster, because this poster, it says, introducing a new trio, yeah, the flyer for Kurt's new band, it says, introducing a new trio, Kurt Hummel, Elliot Gilbert, and Danny.
No last name.
They couldn't be bothered. Couldn't even make one up. And they honestly, were like, I don't know, they didn't this girl's give on her way out Demi anyway.
A new name. They just gave them Danny. Just at that point, just Danny, like Danny Lovato. Like, it's like, just give Danny, them the same
Danny
last name.
Danny Lovato. Turn that V to a B.
Literally, Lovato. That's good. Should we talk about the songs in this plotline?
Yeah. Let's talk about the songs in this plotline. Up first, we got Barracuda.
Hell yeah. Every musical theater girl's go-to karaoke song. Don't lie. I know it is, you guys.
Every musical theater's, oh, I'm supposed to have a pop rock in my book.
Oh, yeah. Put Barracuda in there.
Every
guys,
musical
I've done
theater
the same
girl's
thing.
Song that she has in case she gets called in for Rock of Ages.
And you know what, bitches? It sounds great when you do it. Applaud. I do the same thing. I love it. I love this song. I think this song is amazing. And I think these two sound great at it. And I think even, like, it's just the dramatic nature of this episode. And, like, Rachel, like, in a lunge, like, singing this song in Elliot's face. It's just delicious. I eat it up. Yum, yum, yum. It's so fun. I'm obsessed.
This is where we have a little bit of a disagreement, and you know,
you don't
that's
like
why we have two hosts of this podcast. I love Barracuda. Do not get me wrong. This song is on my gym playlist. I love it. Nancy Wilson. It's Nancy, right?
Uh-huh.
Is it Nancy?
Nancy
Wilson, if you're listening, I love you to death. Very cool that you're in this number. This song rocks. Adam Lambert sounds great on this song. He sounds incredible. Lea Michele also sounds great on this song. It lifts right out of the episode. It feels, this is actually the only number in the entire episode that I feel this way about. Last episode during Frenemies, I talked about like a few numbers that I felt like weren't really doing much lifting plot-wise. I actually think every other number in this episode is kind of like justified and keeps the story moving and is entertaining and all that stuff. This number, at least for me personally, the episode comes to a screeching halt for 2 minutes. And I'm just kind of like, okay, like I get it. What's going on now? And I think I do understand that it establishes like Elliot and Rachel's dynamic and that like they're now becoming closer friends. But if they really wanted to do that, I wish that it would be like, you know, maybe a montage. Maybe they're singing Barracuda and we're cutting to like seeing them going around New York City and them hanging out. But Rachel kind of being, you know, like they're hanging out, having a good time. And then she like hands him her bag and makes him carry her bag. Or like they are getting lunch together and it's so fun. And then she's like, oh, no, I forgot my wallet, and makes him pay for lunch. Where we see the dynamic more of they're friends, sure, but Rachel's also kind of exploiting this guy. And then we could have this really fun number and also feel like, you know, we're discovering something new. As is, it just feels like Lea Michele has to sing twice in every episode, and we really want to utilize Adam Lambert's voice.
Sure. I get that. I mean, when you say it like that, I agree. Like, this like song doesn't do much for the plot other than, like, be some fun. I think that's something that I enjoy about it, is that it is, like, just really fun, and they sound great. And I think, you know, sometimes I'm cool with that, but I totally agree. It like doesn't serve the plot at all, but hey,
yeah,
I dig it.
Also, much love to Lea Michele, but I think because she is just like such a singer that when she sings, it's like great. And she comes across as like very comfortable in her own skin and like very confident she knows what she's doing. But there's a section at the beginning of the song when it's Elliot singing and she's just like watching him and trying to like hot Rachel watch him and be sexy. Mm-hmm. And at least for me, I can see how hard she's trying. She's doing this little like shoulder shimmy and trying to like bite her lip. And I'm like, girl, you are trying your hardest. And Lea Michele is hot. Like, she is beautiful. But I'm like, I can tell you are so conscious of how you look right now. And it's really taken me out of it.
Honestly, that's so interesting because there are like, you know, I think moments in this song, especially where like she is very comfortable in her own skin and can just like let herself perform. But especially when she is not singing, it is palpable how like obsessed with her appearance she is. And I like hate to point that out about another woman, but it like is hard to watch.
Well, and also just beyond just like she wants to make sure that she looks good, it's just palpable that she's unsure of what to do in that moment. It's like the moment in acting when you're like, what do I do with my hands?
You're like, what do I do with my hands?
It very much feels like that. I don't know if I necessarily think that it's her trying to be like making sure that she's hot, but it's more just her trying to be like, okay, and this is like a sexy rock song. So like, what do I got to do that's like sexy rocker?
What does sexy look like?
Adam Lambert is such a natural rock star. Mm-hmm. Like, his stage presence is just like exudes from him so easily that anytime they like put him up against one of these cast members, it really just like highlights how like it gives a strong contrast that like otherwise I wouldn't notice. But like we talked about it during I Believe in a Thing Called Love and putting Chris Colfer next to him, I was like, oh, Chris Colfer doesn't seem super comfortable on this song.
Yeah.
And then put him next to Lea Michele and I'm like, Lea Michele doesn't really know what to do when she's not singing.
He
is so often just like, it just comes so naturally to him.
Yeah. And I think that's like, I think a lesson in like any kind of like performing is that like there has to be like come a moment where you kind of like stop thinking about who, like where your hands are and what you look like and what you're doing and what you're singing and just live. And some people really like have a really easy time with that. Other people, pointing at myself, have a really tough time with that. I feel like I'm always like, what the fuck are my hands doing? What do I look like? Oh my God, is my skirt tucked up in my shorts? Like, just like, it's hard. It's hard.
Up next, we got Gloria. So for some context, they're at the Starlight Diner. Santana and Rachel are both working a shift. The boss and Santana's like on her break hanging out with Elliot. Rachel is pissed that Elliot dare remain friends with her former roommates after what they did to her. and the boss comes up and he's like, hey, Rachel, there's a woman here. It's her birthday. Her name is Gloria, and she wants someone to sing Gloria for her. And then Santana's like, no, actually, I'm going to do it. And then Rachel says, you know what? We'll both do it. And Elliot, you can sing backup and then decide which one of us sings better. Mm-hmm. I think this is a perfect way to showcase Adam Lambert's talent, give Leah the song that she has to have, and then also keep it so in the story. Like this, totally. Whereas Barracuda, I kind of like zone out during it. I am so incredibly dialed in during this performance. I'm like watching my TV like a hawk. First of all, they all sound incredible. It's just like a beautiful cover of this song. But then also the character dynamics. We have at the beginning of the song, Rachel comes in to sing the first note, but Santana beats her to it. And then Rachel gets angry and then just furiously step touches for the whole first verse. Mm-hmm. Like the most over-exaggerated, pissed off step touch I've ever seen. And then at the end, when they are purposely trying to out-riff each other, both is like, you know, audibly beautiful, but also so funny that they are just funny. Throwing at the wall, trying to be like, I'm better. I'm more impressive. I love it. I love this number.
I know, me too. I am obsessed, especially like with the riff off that happens. Like it sounds amazing, but like these two battling each other with riffing and like pushing each other out of the way and like singing, like, oh my God, it is like so fury, like the way they are furiously singing this song that is like, you know, pretty fun. Oh my God, it is so funny. Oh my God, it is awesome. And I literally was thinking, I'm like, I feel so bad that these two are feuding in real life because it makes for such amazing television. Like, it makes me really sad that this is happening, but God, do I love to watch it. It makes me feel gross. I really love it.
I know, I'd kind of forgotten about that till you brought it up. It does really sully this whole plot line, which so far, two episodes in, I've really been enjoying, to be like, oh, this was supposed to be the writers being like, here's your forced therapy to work through your real life feud. I love the fact that this song between Santana and Rachel is a death match and they're not hiding it on their faces. Like they are so furious and they're so angry. Whereas Elliot is just happy to be invited.
Yeah,
like, totally. Like he's just having fun.
He doesn't and work
they,
here.
They keep like physically fighting over Elliot, like pulling him towards them to sing with them. And he just keeps being like, okay, another chance to sing. Great. And also the fact that the woman named Gloria, whose birthday it is just thrilled. She's so excited to have like, this number about her. And the two women singing are very clearly angry. And she's still like, wow, they're so talented.
I love it. It's really so awesome. Like, everything about this number is just, like, expertly directed. It's tons of fun. Shout out Ian Brennan.
Oh, it's great.
It's so fun.
Ian Brennan, I'm in love with you. Honestly. So, then Kurt announces that Santana and Rachel kicked out of Pamela Lansbury. He, Danny and Elliot are forming the new band, and he invites them to come and watch the new band. And he's like, if you can pretend to be friends for one night, come to our first gig. And he, Danny and Elliot sing The Happening by the Supremes at their first gig. What are your thoughts of this number?
It's cute. It's cute. I enjoy it. What are your thoughts? I don't have many thoughts other than it's cute and I enjoy it.
I like it.
Yeah.
I do think it's such a different vibe from Pamela Lansbury that I'm like, bizarre that, because he says at the beginning, he says like, I know a lot of you came expecting Pamela Lansbury. Unfortunately, Pamela Lansbury, c'est fini. And then you hear a woman in the audience go, what? Which is very funny. So funny. This song is such a different vibe from what Pamela Lansbury did that I'm like, you should have given them a bit more warning than that. They're just like springing on this, you know, suit and tie jazzy number when they're expecting a Madonna cover. But that being said, I think this number is fun. I think this number, specifically what I like about it, is it's very Kurt. It does not feel like Kurt trying to sing what someone else wants to sing or what someone else like thinks is cool. It very much feels like him and his element doing what he likes And it feels like he has finally taken ownership of this band instead of kind of kowtowing to what Rachel and Santana maybe would have wanted for the band.
I love that thought. That's a really great thought. And I hadn't thought about it that way. That makes me like it way more. Because it's like more him and like more his own mm-hmm. thing. That's just such a, I love that. That is, wow. Good watching TV. That really is, that's really such a sweet thing.
They easily could have, you know, they got Adam Lambert. They could have been like, let's do another rock song that Adam's going to sound great on. But it's like, that's not what Kurt does. Like absolutely. This little like, da 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 da. Is so Kurt, and also it's great that he, you know, Danny and Elliot are still very heavily featured. They still have solos. They still get their moment, but it feels like Kurt's band. And that's what this was supposed to be from the beginning. So it's very nice to, like, finally see that iteration. Sadly, 1-3 Hill is about to say Fanny as well because Danny is on her way out of the show.
Literally. Bye, Danny.
For this one performance, and then for Hold On later in the episode, we got Kurt's actual band the way it should have been from the beginning.
I wish they gave Kurt his own thing more, because even now it like makes me sad to mm-hmm. think like, oh, this is great, this is more up Kurt's alley. It's never gonna happen again, you know, like even when he does get like his own thing, it will inevitably be taken away for in service for Rachel, of course,
like Vogue.com.
Exactly like Vogue.com. Ugh, my gosh. Anyway, I love you, Kurt.
Well, do you have more New York thoughts? There's a lovely scene where Rachel comes back into the apartment because she's looking for a scented candle. And she and Santana kind of have a moment where they reach a moment of peace and realize that neither of them really has any female friends. And that they were kind of each other's only female friend, and they have now ruined that. And I did like that scene a lot. I liked that moment of clarity for both of them, where it's kind of like, this seems to be a pattern in my life. Maybe I'm part of the problem, and it's not just you. And then also, Rachel says about the fact that they weren't really friends in high school. She says, yeah, sucks that we were all so competitive about boys and solos. And I wrote, yeah, sucks that the writers literally never allowed anyone to be friends because everyone had to be boy never. Crazy all the time.
It's, I don't know. I love this scene so much, especially because I like, they just like, you know, they're hearing each other, but they're also like not forgiving each other for what's going on. And I think it's, I don't know. It's just like a really interesting watch. Like Rachel's like, but why? Like, why my show? Why my part? And Santana was like, I saw an opportunity and took it. Like, and you would have done the same. Like those two coming to an understanding of like, these are two insanely ambitious women. And like, they don't have much in common, but they have that in common. Like, and like them coming to a peaceful understanding of like, okay, maybe let's not like try and kill each other, but like, you know, also like not forgiving each other for what's going on. I'm really into this. I love it.
I like this New York stuff. And then we got Hold On, but I feel like we talked about that at the end because Hold On is like everyone, you know?
Yeah, we'll save it then.
So that's New York. I really, really loved this New York plot. I agree with everything you said about Elliot. I think he's being utilized so well. And I think it's really interesting to kind of see him, you know, refuse to take sides and just be like, I'm helping out Rachel because she had nowhere to go, but I'm not going to stop hanging out with Santana and Kurt. He does have a moment. After Gloria, he like tells them all off. And he says, like, you know, Rachel, I'm here to help you, but I'm not your best gay. Like, you're not my owner. And then he says something to Santana about, like, you know, you're holding on to a grudge or whatever he says to Santana. And then he turns to Kurt and he's like, and Kurt, maybe you're used to this drama, but I'm not. And I was like, bitch, what problem do you have with Kurt right now? Kurt is handling this as maturely as
he's
possible.
He's just trying his, he didn't choose where he grew up and went to high school. Give him a break.
Seriously. He's put his foot down and he is not encouraging this and is in fact removing him from the situation. Like, sorry, Elliot.
I think he's doing the best he can, Elliot. Get out of here.
Yeah. Gall, shoot. All right. Well, that's New York. Bye.
Bye.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Let's talk about Will and Emma having sex in the faculty bathroom.
Oh, I forgot that this...
And being worked in by a teenager.
I fully pushed that so far ahead of my brain. If you wouldn't have said something, I would not have remembered. I trauma blocked that out. I built a wall around that in the corner of my mind. I said, don't leave. That's, you know, literally so gross.
It's a bummer because this episode is great. And then we got this Will and Emma's sex life plot in the middle of it. And I understand why the writers would decide to do this plot. You know, Will and Emma have been married for a while. It has been established on this show since season one that Will wants to be a dad. This is, like, fertility issues are a very real thing that a lot of people go through.
Absolutely.
It makes sense that they would do this plot. Doesn't mean I like it. Like, I don't know. Like, it makes sense with the characters, it makes sense with the circumstances, but I really don't need to be thinking this much about Will's sex life. Like, let me be.
I don't.
You have been shoving it in my face for 5 seasons. I'm at my limit now.
Don't need it.
I can't take it anymore.
And especially the Becky finding them, like, trying to...
Lock the door.
Oh my god. They would have been fired so fast. Like, so fast. What the fuck? Are you kidding? I can't believe that happened on this show.
A child saw Will Schuster's bare ass. If she's lucky, she just saw his bare ass.
If she's lucky. If she's unlucky, she may be size wiener.
Oh, wow. Anyways, let's make this a quick one.
Literally, I can't even think about it anymore.
One thing I like, the thing is, like, you know, as I said, like, fertility issues are real. Are like a lot of people struggle with that. It is like a very hard thing that a lot of people go through. I think the message of if you're worried so much about getting pregnant that it's kind of sucked all the like joy and romance out of the experience, that's a problem. Like, I agree with all of that, but I just don't need it on this show.
Yeah.
With these characters. This is a show about, like, high schoolers in a show choir. Why are we talking about this? But a line that I thought was funny, so I'll give it a shout out, is when Sue says to Will, far be it from me to tell you how to inseminate a frail neurotic woman that I hate. That was very funny.
That was very funny.
And also, I'm not going to lie, Danny's song kind of won me over.
It's really sweet.
It was like, because one, just that's a beautiful song. But then two, you know, the whole purpose of that musical number was I'm so sorry, everyone, to talk about this, but they'd gotten so clinical about their sex life that like the romance was gone from their marriage. And so that song is just, you know, them, and it's not like them having sex. It's like them having a lovely date night together. Yeah. And, you know, like painting the room and deciding what movie to watch. And I did think that that was charming and cute. And then at the very end, we see them pre-coitus. And I was like, I did not need this shot. You ruined it. But up to that point, I thought it was cute and I liked it.
Yeah. And I mean, like you said, like, Will trying to have a baby has been a part of this show since the beginning, you know. So this kind of full circle moment, I don't mind it. I just, like, don't need to be reminded that this man has had sex ever or will ever. You know what I mean? I don't need to. And I think there must have been another way to do this. There must have been another way to talk about this. You know, my instinct is to say, like, cut this from the episode, like, this is a show about teenagers, but it's not. He's a part of this show as much as any of them, and especially that first season, that, like, oh my god, he was in this show so much, and all the whole thing was about him wanting to be a dad. So I don't mind that it's in this episode. There just could have been a way where we didn't have Becky walk in on them in the bathroom. That's the thing that I didn't like.
For real?
I don't even mind, like, Emma and him, like, post, like, pre-coital, like, laying down together and kissing. Like, that doesn't matter to me. They're being sweet. Like, but, like, oh my god. Him moaning in the restroom and then a student finding them. I need to, like, cleanse my eyes with holy water. What the fuck?
That is truly such an incredibly wild choice. Like, walk in on them.
Why, like, Becky?
If someone has to walk in on them, there's plenty of adult faculty members that could do it.
Why couldn't it have been Sue?
I do think it's not, the price is too high.
This is too high. But the shot of Becky sitting at her desk, like, fully dissociated, staring off into space, is funny.
And it's like, she's really fucked up from this. Yeah.
It is not funny enough to justify what causes it, but that's a funny moment.
If I saw that, if I saw two of my teachers having sex in the bathroom, I'd be fucked up for the rest of my life.
My mic disconnected again. Hold up.
I don't know why my mic keeps disconnecting, but that's, if the sound quality keeps changing, that's what's going on. It's frustrating. Let's leave the Wemma storyline to Becky's therapist. Let's move on to something more exciting.
Sure.
Which is Blamtina.
Yes. Let's fucking go. This plot line rocks my socks. I'm obsessed. I love it. I really love it.
This show, it only took them 5 years. They finally know what to do with Tina. I was like, this is what she should have been doing since the beginning.
Seriously. Oh my god.
We got two back-to-back great Tina episodes about her friendships, her relationships. She's had, what, like, five different features? No, like, six different features over six episodes musically.
She is singing her little face off. Oh my god, it's awesome.
And she sounds incredible.
Oh my god, starting off with Jumpin', she is melting my face off. She sounds so awesome.
She sounds great.
Oh my god. Like, first of all, saying that she is the Beyonce of this trio is my favorite thing that's ever happened. Like, her taking the lead on this is really awesome. They sound great. They look like they're having a ton of fun. I just am obsessed. Mm-hmm. I really love it. And starting off with, like, you know, honestly, like, throughout this episode, like, we've got, like, the Supremes in here and Destiny's Child, like, just, like, really fun, amazing, like, trios in
Wilson,
like,
Phillips.
Yeah, Wilson Phillips, absolutely. Hart.
I'm serious.
I think Hart is too. But Wilson Phillips is a trio?
Yeah, Hart is too.
Oh, yeah. I literally thought you were kidding. I thought that was one man. Hell yeah, bitch. No. Are you kidding?
Okay, one man. It's three women.
I'm terrible. I didn't know.
Wilson.
Thanks for teaching me. Wilson Every day's Phillips. A school day, brother. I'm open to learn.
It's the two daughters. It's the two daughters of Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys and the one daughter of someone with the last name Phillips from the Mamas and the Papas.
That's really cool. Great. That's really awesome. Yeah. Thank you for teaching me that. Sorry I didn't know.
You're welcome. Sorry if I came off so condescending.
That's okay. You were like, what the fuck, idiot? You weren't like that. But yeah, just like, you know, having these like cool trios.
I guess Wilson Phillips does sound like one man's name, so that yeah, does totally make sense. Yeah, you can't fault me
for thinking that Wilson Phillips is just one guy.
Mr. Wilson Phillips, that makes a lot of sense.
Oh my goodness. Any Hoosers, this song is great. Let's talk about this plot. What do you think about this plot?
Yeah, no, Jump In. I don't have anything else to say about Jump In. It's a banger, banger, banger. Like, it's really fun. It's really great. It's a great way to introduce us to this dynamic. My one complaint with this plot literally got addressed immediately and so was therefore no longer a complaint, which was we start out this episode and we're like, you know, Blam Tina, they're best friends, best friends, best friends. They're Tina's closest friends. And I wrote in my notes, I was like, okay, but last week we had a whole plot about how Artie was her best friend. But then Artie wheels up to, you know, be a part of the group and hug them. And they say, no, you had her last week. And then we have this undercurrent of Artie kind of feeling overlooked. And so then because they lampshaded it, it didn't bother me. And also, it reveals something interesting about Tina's character that I'm like, I wish we could have been doing this with this girl the whole show, which is like, I feel like watching this episode, Tina in a weird way is the glue that holds the Glee Club together. Like the fact that she is such close friends with Artie and such close friends with Blam, but Blam and Artie are not really very close friends with each other. It's like Tina is ever, and you know, there have been hints of it, and the fact that Tina in like season one was the group gossip and she like knew everything about everyone. That I wish, just this episode makes me really happy, but it also makes me really sad for what could have been. I wish it had been a more obvious undercurrent for the whole show that it was like Tina. Because you do see that she is a very empathetic person. She's a very sensitive soul. She cries at everything. That it was just like she is, you know, not best friends with everyone, but like she's got her finger in every pie. Like she is has a close one-on-one relationship with every single person. And that's how she knows all the gossip. But then also like she genuinely deeply cares about every single person. Absolutely. And I love that we see that in this episode. And I wish we would have seen more of it before.
I'm so glad you said that. That is like such a good thought. She is the glue that holds this club together. And like her being a gossip is because she's like everyone's friend. Like her texting Rachel that something's happened. What did she text her about?
Well, she texted Rachel about the Grease drama.
Yeah, exactly. But that's like because like she remains close with Rachel. You know, who knows what they're texting now? You know, like that is, oh my God.
They haven't spoken on the phone in months, I hate to tell you. It is mentioned in this episode that they don't talk anymore.
In this episode. But they were they were texting. They haven't spoken on the phone. The point still stands. Like her being friends with everyone is like something that makes me so sad that they never utilized more. Like her having such a fun episode with Artie and then having such a fun episode with Blam. Oh my God, this is so sweet. And I feel like is more true to like the average high schooler life than like, you know, Finchel. I feel like Finchel was such a special thing, like that big ship. That it was obviously so fun and enjoyable to watch because it was so special. But this like is when I think about a band of misfits, I want to see the girl who's friends with everyone. I want to see the girl who's a crazy gossip. I want to see the girl who like cries on the floor and a friend comes and picks her up. Like I love this episode for Tina. Oh my God, I love you, Tina. That makes me so emotional. Yeah.
I just love having a storyline about a friend group. And like you said, yes, Sam and Tina make out in this episode, but it's not a romantic thing. It's like we're teenagers and we have so many hormones and what would this be like? And I just, this is what we've been asking for from the show from the beginning. And it's so nice to have a plot line that is explicitly just like three friends getting up to trouble. It's also such a high school thing that your senior year is ending and you're like, we need to do something big to memorialize this time of our lives. Like, we have to do something crazy. Let's break into the school. I really like it. Really, really like it.
I also love, in talking about the making out too, and like, I feel like that is so like a senior thing to do. Like, oh, I never realized this person could have been a possibility. I'm going to make out with them. And it's like, what am I doing? I need to like cultivate my friendships. I'm going to miss them so much. I feel like I had similar experiences when I was a senior, and I was like, I should have been hanging out with my friends more often. What am I doing here? Oh my gosh, this whole plot is so fun. And the senior lock-in is such a fun thing. How do they not go to jail? How are they allowed to be valedictorian from like doing this? They would be in so much trouble. But I just like the fact that this is their like idea of fun and to like make Tina feel better. They want to like do this fun thing. I just love it. It is so, oh my God, it's so sweet. I just love it.
I also, something I love about the lock-in is, so Tina, Blaine, and Sam break into McKinley. They climb through the window. They spend the night in the school. They're having a great time. And then they get caught by Becky because Becky saw that the window was open. She followed them in. I love the fact that the lock-in gets ruined not because Becky sees them and reports them to Sue. Mm-hmm. It's because Becky finds them and just like fully kills the vibe. Like, Becky is just like so weird. I know. And like doesn't get what they're trying to do and like wants them to play games that they don't want to play and also is like so bossy that the games are not fun and is also like flirting with them that it's just like,
and also oh, the 11 really hour energy anymore. Like, drinks.
Becky kind of ruined the party.
It's really tons of fun. I love that.
Also the fact that Becky calls Blaine Gay Blaine, which is his best nickname. Gay Blaine, always funny. Also, when she's hopped up on 11 Hour Energies, is like so openly flirting with him and trying to seduce him. Mm-hmm. And it's like in one breath, she calls him Gay Blaine. And then it's also like, when you come back here, I'll have more 11 Hour Energies. Like, I'll post on the Twister mat trying to be sexy. Oh, it's so funny. Seriously.
It's really tons of fun.
The idea to have Becky just absolutely kill the mood and that's what ruins the senior lock-in is genius.
And especially, like, not that they got caught and like they're in trouble, but it's just like it became a little unfun. Like, that's so silly. Really,
it's just
love
like
it.
Oh, okay.
I love it.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
All right, let's get into some songs. Specifically, Don't You Forget About Me. Let's talk about their tribute to Pitch Perfect.
This song is so cute. I love a montage of like some senior fun. I love any sort of montage. I love this song. I think it's a fun way to use this song. And I'm glad that they used it for this instance instead of the one in Puppet Master.
Yes.
I think this is way more fun.
I adore this number. It is also like this exact age group where you are nearly an adult and you are like itching for independence, but then also trying your best to hang on to childhood. It's like that weird dichotomy. So the idea of, you know, they do this pretty adult thing, breaking and entering, you know, they commit a felony, a pretty adult thing.
Totally.
And then once they're inside, and then, you know, like Tina and Sam make out, which is more of an adult thing. But then, like, once they're inside, they're like, let's draw eyes on our chins and hang upside down and film videos of us singing. Like, let's ride a skateboard through the hall like it's a sled. It's, I just feel like it captures that age so well, where you see adulthood coming and you want to embrace it, but then you're also like, wait, but I'm not ready to be done with being a kid yet. And you're trying to, like, do both things at the same time. It was very cute. I really like this number. Also, they break into Emma's office and go through her pamphlets, and Tina holds up one that says, is it my period or have I been shot?
Word, been there. I love that they're like, I love them finding Cheerio uniforms and putting them on. I love Sam putting on the fun skirt. He looks so cute. I just, this whole number is so sweet. Like, and it, and especially what you say, like, being silly, like, just, like, embracing, like, the last moments of, like, their childhood and, like, oh my God, it's really just so sweet. I love it.
Yeah, I also, as much as I love Becky killing the vibe, it's hilarious. I am glad that we got to see that they did have a good time before Becky came. You know, like, they still had a nice lock-in. She just showed up halfway through and then ruined the second half.
Totally.
Shoot, do we just go to Hold On by Mr. Wilson Phillips now?
I think so. The one Mr. Wilson Phillips. Let's do it.
Yeah, the singular male Wilson Phillips.
Exactly. Not not three girls, one man Wilson Phillips. I love this number. It is really so sweet. And I think, you know, what I like so much about it is, like, them playing on their own joke of they have to end an episode with, like, a song that wraps it all up. So it's so fucking silly. Like, it is, like, from the jump, silly. Like, the four of them, like, the trio and then adding Artie in, like, walking around with, like, sheets everywhere. And, like, Rachel peering out a window and, Santana, like, singing with a wino. It is silly. Like, the whole thing is silly. And it, like, you know, plays on this joke of they end these episodes with a song every time, no matter what. And it makes me laugh. I love it. I feel like I'm in on this joke where I'm like, oh my God, that's so funny. I just love it. I really, it's a beautiful song, and it's also just stupid. I'm obsessed. This whole episode is just, like, silly to the max, and I love it.
And not to continue to be Ian Brennan's number one fan, but I just feel like he gets that balance so well. Yeah. Like, he gets how to have the emotional stakes, but then to never take itself too seriously. To be like, but at the end of the day, this is, like, a silly musical show about a show choir.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, Naya Rivera and Lea Michele are both playing it pretty emotionally honest. Like, their scenes are, like, pretty emotionally honest. And yet, like you said, the framing is so dramatic and ridiculous. Or with Santana, there's, like, a random wino who's, like, dancing next to her.
I love it.
I agree. I think this episode is very silly in a very good way. I really like it.
Yeah. I just think it's the perfect way to end this episode. Like, there's so much good stuff in this episode.
Yeah.
And this song, like, is, like, drama, silly, fun to the max. I love it. I just think it's great.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And we have the nice resolution of the Artie running joke of him being excluded, where they're like, oh, yeah, first of all, Artie has some self-respect. The way that he forgives them instantly after this whole episode, if I found out that every senior in my club had a senior lock-in that they did not invite me, a senior, to attend,
I'd be so pissed.
I would be so angry. I don't know if I would ever forgive them. And the fact that they're just like, anyways, Artie, you want to sing this song with us? And he's like, I'll forgive him, sure. Like, Artie, have some self-respect. You're worth more than this, pal.
I can't even think about how much that would hurt me. Like, there have been, like, small yeah. instances where, like, people have forgotten about me, and I still can't forgive them. Like, that is, like, such, oh my god, especially a senior lock-in just when with these three, and then I found out Becky was there, I'd be so mad. I'm like, you invited all the seniors except for me. I'd be so pissed.
Yeah, he's maybe so a little too forgiving. A little too forgiving. He's a bit of a doormat in this episode.
Literally. Oh my god. It's really intense.
Also, some funny lines. So Blaine tries to get the senior lock-in to be a school-wide thing. And then Sue makes an announcement where she says, and so it gets canceled and he decides to just have it be the three of them and to fully break into the school. Mm-hmm. But when the lock-in gets canceled, Sue announces it by saying, I regret to inform you that I'm canceling this event due to budget cuts, safety concerns, and I don't know, let's say Obamacare.
It was really funny.
And also the fact that Blaine walks in on Tina and Sam making out, and he's so upset they ruined the lock-in, and he says, I was invited to go bumper bowling with Kitty and Artie tonight, and I gave mm-hmm. it up for this, and you know how much I love bumper bowling. Blaine season 5, much like Tina, they finally know what they're doing with Blaine. They're finally giving him a full character, and he's a lot of fun. I'm glad to have you, Blaine.
He's just like me, for real, for real. He is so fun. I love bumper bowling. That's just bowling with the bumpers on, right?
I think so. Obsessed. I mean, I wouldn't say that in a court of law because I'm not a positive, but I'm fairly certain.
And adults don't let you do it. I'm pissed. Normalize bowling with the bumpers on. I'm serious. I'm not a good bowler. Don't expect me.
For real.
I'm here to have some fun. And if I'm throwing it in the gutter every time, I'm not having fucking fun, you guys. Don't you want me to have fun?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let me drink a Modelo and, like, bump my ball against the bumpers. Give me a break.
All right. Ladies, leave your man at home. And fellas, someday leave your girl with her friends.
Somebody's gonna turn around and make you wanna say goodbye.
To that baby. I didn't even realize until you mentioned that you were like, and we have songs by the Supremes. We have, you know, the song by Destiny's Child. It did not even click for me that they were trying to focus on songs by trios in this episode. Wow. Genius. Obviously, wow. Not all of them are.
Yes.
But quite a few of them are songs by trios. And I didn't even click. So.
Yeah. Is the Simple Minds a trio? I'm Googling it.
I don't know. But like you said, I don't think Heart is.
They're a trio. No, they're not. There's pictures of... Nope, they're not.
And Kenny Loggins and whatever the heck that other guy's name is who wrote Danny's song, they're just two as well. So they're not all trios.
Yeah, they're not all trios. But hey.
And Gloria's one person. Yes. All right. Well, that's season wrap on trio. EP Tiff, yeah, so happy to have you here. Thank you so much for being here. Do you have anything to plug? Cool. Awesome. Everyone go check that out. You can find her on Instagram. But yeah, that's trio, baby.
Hell yeah.
Doom, doom, doom.
Best part, worst part.
Boom. Lena, what's your best part of trio?
Oh, gosh. My best part. I think my best number altogether, I really enjoyed most all of these numbers, if not all of them. I think my best number is, gosh, I'm going to say Don't You Forget About Me, because I love a montage, but was that going to be yours?
Yeah, but I got a second pick that I feel good about. Yeah,
there's so many. And then I think my best part is just... so much of it. I really enjoyed so much of this episode. But I think as a certified emotional girly, I love my Tina Cohen Chang. She is very special to me as a character. Oh my gosh. Like, in seeing, like, people give her love in this episode was just very sweet to me. Like... like, seeing her fall on the ground and have these two people, like, come pick her up, like, oh my God, it's just really special. And I just wish we could have, like, seen more of, like, the friendships in this show, because it is literally, like, my favorite thing about this show is, like, the interpersonal relationships between friends. And I just love Tina. Oh my God. Anywho's, maybe that's my best part, but I just love so much of this episode. Ian, what's your best part?
I think my best song after Don't You Forget About Me is Gloria, Gloria.
Nice.
I love that number. It is both, it is what I want a Glee number to be, which is A, an amazing cover, like really great to listen to, very impressive, but and B, like very fun to watch spectacle wise, but C, also a lot of emotional stakes and a lot of storytelling going on. Just like all around really beautiful number.
The trifecta, the best.
Amen. My best part is a little bit what you said, but you specified Tina, so I'm going to just say the larger thing, the thing at large. I love the focus on friendships in this episode, that it's all about interpersonal friendships instead of just like one-on-one romance. And that is something that is so central to the high school experience that has been a bit overlooked on this show. And even in the New York stuff, it's all friendships in New York. So I just love seeing that.
Yeah.
What's your worst part?
My worst part is Becky Jackson walking in on Will and Emma Schuster having sex. That's it.
I forgot that happened. Maybe we just talked about it.
Maybe the worst thing that's ever happened in my life that I've seen on television. Oh my God, I this literally, is so terrible. Did you forget?
This is... I forgot that plotline happened and we just talked about it. I swear the only reason I remembered it to bring it up to you is because I was looking at my notes. This has to be studied. The phenomenon of completely blocking out the Will and Emma plotline after you watch Trio and having no memory that it happened.
You're like, wow, that episode was great. All of it was great.
It was just the kids. It was wonderful.
It was so
Will
great.
Will just came what on screen to talk about nationals. That was it.
What was your worst part?
I don't know. Just like that whole... Literally, I was going to say that my worst part was Barracuda because I forgot that Becky Foley sees Will and Emma having sex in this episode. Just that so whole plot line. I once again feel bad saying that because it is about an issue that is A, very prevalent in the world, but B, very rarely talked about because for some reason people like feel a lot of shame about it, which you should not. So like I feel bad saying that because I think it is important to normalize, you know, fertility issues and like having trouble conceiving. But, like, I don't need to hear about Will having trouble conceiving. Like, golly. I don't need to know about his sex life. Shoot.
No way.
My gosh.
I just
hate him. Thank you.
Oh, my God. Love it.
Anyways.
Anyway.
Great. I mean, Assignment of the Week technically would be, like, a song by a trio, but that didn't click for me until just now.
Oh, gosh.
So I'm doing Hold Tight by the Andrew Sisters, a song about a buzzard who tries to kill a monkey, and then the monkey strangles the buzzard to save his own life.
Great.
A very odd... No, wait. That's not Hold Tight. That's Straighten Up and Fly Right. Sorry. My apologies, all you Andrew Sisters stands out there.
Nice.
Hold on, Papa, don't you blow your top. Ain't no use in diving. What's the use in diving? Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Yo, in the horror movie Megan that just came out about the killer doll, she sings an Andrew Sisters song.
I just saw it yesterday.
And I said, she's a girl just like me. When she is, spoiler alert for Megan, when she's ripped in half and it's just her top half hanging upside down, and she goes, you gotta accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. That's Andrew Sisters.
That's that? Oh my gosh, I didn't even know. Obsessed.
I was weirdly into the Andrew sisters for being a 13-year-old boy. And yet,
I hear that.
I was convinced I was heterosexual. What are you singing?
I'm singing Bootylicious by Destiny's Child.
Ooh. I don't think they can handle this.
I know. I don't think you're ready for this, Jelly.
I really don't. Sorry.
Obsessed. Well, that's what I'm singing. Okay. If you guys have thoughts on Trio, you can send them to us. I would love to read them, and we'd love to share them on our minisode. You can send them to recoveringgleek@gmail.com. You can follow us on social media. We're at recoveringgleek_podcast on TikTok and Instagram, and then we're at recoveringgleek on Twitter.
We got a fun little event coming up really fast before we get to our Patreon
bit. Oh my
bit.
Gosh. So, I always forget.
On Sunday, January 29th at a little place called 54 Below in Manhattan in New York City, they are hosting a 54 Below Sings the Glee Version Regionals. It's going to be a concert. A lot of people are going to be there. A lot of like Glee TikTokers that you know are going to be there. Also, some Broadway performers are going to be there.
Literally.
Yeah, a lot of Glinfluencers are going to be there. And it's going to be hosted by, don't know if you heard of them, Lena Knatzer and Ian Allred of the podcast Recovering Gleek, a Glee podcast.
I hear they're hot.
As well as, to complete our trio, an enemy of the podcast, Alex Allred, baby. So, if you are in the New York area, go to the 54 Below website to buy tickets. Come and see us. But if you're, and we also are singing as well as hosting, so get excited. But if you are not in the New York area, do not fret, for they are live streaming the concert. You can buy a ticket to watch the live stream and be with us there. What time is it at? Do you have the infographic in front of you? Is it 9:30 p.m. New York time, Eastern Standard Time? 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on January 29th. We'll post the graphic on our Instagram. It has all the information. Go on the 54 Below website. I think if you use the promo code GLEE5, it gives you $5 off. But that's just if you're going in person, I believe. Check out our Instagram for that information. Go check it out. Support us.
We're really excited. I think it'll be a blast. I'm really excited to have Ian a part of it. I had such a blast doing it with Alex and Molly last time. And I'm so pumped that you get to be here for this. And we're going to have a blast.
And also, you know, if you want to support us, one, for free, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Help get our podcast promoted to other people. The more you rate us, the more you review us, the more it gets recommended to other people. And if you got some change burning a hole in your pocket, if your pocket's full of dollars, no. If your pockets are full grown, I didn't remember the lyric. If your pockets are full grown and you're looking to lighten them up, then subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/recoveringgleek. Check out our bonus content. We're releasing an episode on High School Musical 3 this month. It'll be out next week. We got a lot of bonus episodes on there. And if you join our higher tier Best Friend of the Podcast, you get a fun little shout out at the end of the episode.
And it's my turn to say all of our Best Friends of the Podcast as fast as I can. To reiterate, I love saying this. Ian's goal is less than a minute. My goal is to do my best.
Your last time you did it, it was a minute 44.
Boy, I really struggle with this. But I'll do it for my
patrons. That's not long.
I'll do it for my best friends. I know, but you did it in like 1:13 last time. But my goal isn't to beat you. It is to do my best. It was 1:13. Are you ready? Okay. Here is a big thank you to go. Vicky, Hannah, Gemma, Evan, Keely, Sophia, Willie, Eva, Sarah, Camlin, Danica, Shaylin, Salty Boy, Hannah, Eli, Zanziba, Mary Kay, Atticus, Brittany, Megan, Ava, Carolee, Carolina, Reagan, Meredith, Colorheo, Katie, Alex, Josette, Tori, Emmy, Marcus, Lel, Ethan, Danielle, Maggie, Ian, Sutton, Madeline, Tiffany, Ilani, Rachel, Elise, Kieran, Diane, Ellerine, Jeanette, Benjamin, Suzanne, Blanton, Lola, Ben, Alice B, Bamitz, Ham, Fanta, Nadia, Savannah, Fadia, Meadow, Nicole, Joseph, Jackson, Tori, Golly, Caitlin, Patrice, Garbage, Maddie, Abby, Kodiak, Kirsten, Story, Natasha, Liz, Eileen, Mariah, Manuel, Mallory, Hannah, Matilda, Rebecca, Libby, Jordan, Andrew, Elizabeth, Christina, Del, Ari, Liam, Riley, Juliana, Elijah, Stephanie, Haley, Raphael, Marissa, Rin, Taylor, Kimberly, Carlin, Frankie, Dana, Finley, Jocelyn, Margaret, Despina, Liz, Josie, Nash, Aaron, Alana, Marin, Han, Phoebe, Kaylee, Caitlin, Megan, Emily, Aria, Jeremy, Beatrice, Emma, pardon me, Eva, Haley, Emily, Anaya, Michelle, Lauren, Marcus, Lisa, I Am Four Eyes, Jacqueline, Spencer, Elsie, Troy, Mallory, Meredith, Phoebe, Hannah, Laura, Ray, Emily, Alyssa, Lily, Melanie, Yunula, Sam, Samantha, Aubrey, Kat, Kelsey, Haley, Emily, Leah, Kelsey, Isabel, Amir, Thomas, Chucho, Cyrus, Brittany, Victoria, Aaliyah, Naomi, Haley, Robbie, Andy, Kenzie, Rhiannon, Ashley, Roman, Matt, Michael, Andre, Katie, Will, Elizabeth, Freddie, Sinead, Emma, Allison, stop!
Minute 35, baby!
That's a vast improvement.
That's like 10 seconds. Yeah, it's a 9-second
shave off. Pat myself on the back. Woo! Hey, that's achieving my goal. Ew. Yay! Ew. Pretty good.
Wow.
Hell yeah. Wow, that is really the hardest part of...
Every week that I don't have to do it is a huge sigh of relief. I'm always like, oh, thank goodness seriously. This is the week that Lena has to do it.
My butthole's been clenched for really like 2 days about this. It's really stressful.
Thank you to all our patrons. Yeah. Thank you for joining our trio, which is, of course, Lena, me, and our patrons.
And our patrons.
One big happy trio all together.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, thank you all for being here. Thank you for listening.
Tune next Wednesday to hear a minisode about Trio.
Yeah. I love that you're here. I love talking about the show. I love hanging out with my friend Ian. I love that we get to do this. So I'm eternally grateful to you all. Here is a kiss on your forehead. Consensual forehead kisses.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.
The internet got real bad at the end there. So literally, I'll find out what you said afterwards. But I just heard, I love hanging out with my friend.
Oh, no.
Bye.
I was just being sweet.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.